We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello everyone, welcome back to the RotoViz Baseball Show. My name is Colin Kelly. You can follow me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland, and I'm delighted to be joined again by Conor O'Driscoll, aka Dreco, who you can follow on Twitter at DrecoOut. Conor was the FFPC champion last year in the baseball tournament. He came in first place. I came in second place along with Sean Siegel and Blair Andrews. We are delighted to have him back on the show. We did three episodes, Conor. Recorded those about a month ago in one series, and then we're going to do a couple of shows now to release over the next couple of weeks. So really excited to share your insights on some of your recent pieces up on rotoviz.com with the listening audience. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Colin. Thanks for having me back on. The last time was a lot of fun, and I'm excited to go again.
Yeah, it was a huge amount of fun, and we actually had some really great feedback. So always delighted to hear that from people listening and enjoying it. But specifically, I think Conor was getting more of the shout outs than I was in the feedback we were getting. So we had to get him back in. You have to give the listeners what they want. But on today's show, Conor, we are going to be talking specifically about your recent piece up on rotoviz.com, applying optimal baseball principles to a hyper-fragile draft and how to finish a hyper-fragile draft strong. So we did talk a little bit about hyper-fragile when you were on previously, but the big question around this, and it comes up on Twitter when I post some of our drafts and some of the thoughts, and Sean Siegel's posting some of his drafts, we are drafting some running backs in those opening rounds this year, and I know we are very much zero RB driven, or hero RB, or modified zero RB driven, but this year there was some, and it's almost disappearing already with some of the targets that we were drafting being pushed up into that second or third round range. But why are some of the RotoViz team this year drafting hyper fragile? What are some of the thought processes behind that, from your opinion?
Well, one big thing is that before RotoViz wasn't doing too much underdog drafts, whereas now it's a big part of the consumption. But I think too is that you have to be very dynamic in drafts. I know on the show people talk about players being dynamic. As a drafter, you have to be dynamic as well, in that each draft is different. You get a different set of opportunities each draft, and you have to figure out what are the best ways to take advantage of that. One thing is when you get one of those first two picks, first three picks, and you're in position to take JT or CMC, well, you're being given the opportunity to take basically the two best running backs in the draft. Like, and there's a huge tier gap after them. Like, they're the best picks, and because you get to start that way, it really is a nice setup for hyper fragile, because the back then that you have available in the second round is often almost as good or just as good as somebody in the early second. And then you get your early third pick. When somebody falls in that spot, like, it can be a really nice opportunity. I think that one situation is like DeAndre Swift, whereas the fact that you can often get him at the end of the second is kind of crazy because of how good that he showed he was last year. One thing that we often talk about is the kind of profiles of backs, and can they get the double-double. So can they get 10 expected points in the running game, and can they get 10 expected points in the receiving game? And one thing that's interesting, so obviously Swift had 10 expected points per game in his healthy games as a receiver, but he also had a huge share of the goal line touches for the Detroit as well. I think he had like 60-70% of those goal line kind of that those goal line expected points. That would have been huge, except that Detroit didn't actually not get into into that situation very often. So it didn't actually amount to that many total points. But if you want to bet on Detroit being much better this year, oh, hey, they've added these great receivers, like they've got this much firepower, and they and you think they will be in that situation more, like that is one of the cleanest ways played at that I can think of. And so then you also get, like I said, you get back to the third round. For lots of the summer, we were getting Saquon Barkley in that situation. And it's just very difficult to pass that up. And so I think that when you come at it from that kind of like player, oh, these are players I really like in these situations. This is a structure that does have results. We are in half PPR. Like, it just sets up really nice, I think. And then one other thing about starting Hyperfragile from that spot, and we talked about this before, where drafters often using that structure, they will not get an elite tight end. And because that kind of start, it funnels them away from the elite tight end, pushes them towards three tight end, three quarterback builds. And it's just not good for a playoff kind of form. It's not great for leagues, and it's really not good when you have a big playoff at the end. And if you start at the if you're in one of the early picks, you really get a stab at Pitts. I mean, obviously you're reaching for Pitts at this start of the third, but then you can also get the if you don't do that, you also have a real shot at Kittle at the 4 or 5 turn, and so you're really set up well there. So I guess that those are the things that I've been thinking about and that have been kind of like, maybe I really should be trying this approach from this situation. Whereas in the past, I wouldn't have.
Yeah, it's interesting this year. You mentioned a couple of things there, and just to go through it for people listening in, is those first two picks, for example, or maybe you're picking at spot 4 or 5 and for some reason Christian McCaffrey or Jonathan Taylor didn't make it to you there, and maybe you like somebody else outside of those two guys, but they are generally the two guys that we are drafting if we have those first couple of picks and wanted to go running back. And it is kind of, if you're in those first, I would say 4 picks, and that happens, that then in the second round and third round that becomes an option. The other thing with the Hyperfragile build is then we are holding off on our running back. So sometimes we'll hear conversations around robust running back and, you know, trying to load up as much as you can in those first 5 rounds. There is obviously part of the strategy, and we'll talk in a minute about people not implementing it well or not implementing it correctly and how to finish these rosters strong. So there is a couple of things there. It is key that if you take those 3 running backs, they are fitting that profile that Connor mentioned. And there is very specific targets for this. It is Swift and Saquon, for example, in that range. There is a couple of other guys that do fit into it as well. But when we are looking at it, like you mentioned, a couple of different things there, the tight end element. What are some of the other things that you think that people are missing out on when it comes to those, let's say, opening 4 rounds and what they're doing around the running back position and starting to think about the rest of their construction?
One thing that seems to be a lot more popular this year is the early quarterbacks. People are more likely to draft a quarterback. I've even seen Allen go at the 2-3 turn. I'll often see Herbert go at the 3-4 turn, and I guess that is a strategy that can work. Like, those are great players, but if you are going to use a pick on an elite onesie, I really do think that it should be an elite tight end, and especially because some of the quarterbacks that are available in the 6th round, the 7th round, are really, really good for fantasy. Like, they're really good. Whereas I know that tight end, the landscape is a bit different this year, but you can't really replace like Kittle or Pitts. later in the draft. Like, there's a couple of those guys who give you that kind of like massive weekly ceiling that just don't really, they don't really exist in the same way later than that. I think as well that one thing that's really interesting about hyperfragile is that because you only need one more, sometimes you can push it to five, but because you only really need one more, you can be really, really patient with the fourth running back. Like, you really should be pushing it to after eight rounds, but once you hit into that those double digit rounds, there very often is a running back who falls, and so you can make sure you're in position to get 10, 20 picks of value on that fourth guy. And that's something that I'm always looking for. Like, even if there's a guy I don't mind that ADP and he's after the eight rounds, I'll push it just because, like, I know there's a bit better chance than not that I get somebody at good value. And I really like that I get to pick my spot with that fourth running back. Other things that I think are interesting. So obviously rookie receivers in any build are exciting because they do tend to have their production backloaded to the last couple of weeks. But in the context of hyperfragile, I think that's really exciting because if you can have potentially a couple of top 20 receivers at weeks 15 through 17, and you've got these dominant running backs, like it's just a really exciting combination, I think. Whereas obviously with zero RB, we want as much firepower as we can get at the position, and we're just going to barnstorm our position, our opponents through that way. But the complement there is really nice, I think.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, I think circling back to the overall part again, I'm going to keep doing this throughout this episode, I think is really important that it's in those first few picks of the draft to give you the option at those players in the second and third round to attack those correct profiles. I was asking that question to see what you were thinking, and you filled it in with wait until after the eighth round for that fourth running back. So sometimes we'll see people going and taking that fourth running back in the fifth round, for example, and not giving themselves to attack like the elite positions at the onesie position, like you mentioned, in a Kyle Pitts, for example. Our favorite guy this year is TJ Hockenson, but you know, in terms of the other tight end options, like a Kittle, like maybe even a Waller, and then the quarterbacks as well, who you mentioned in that kind of 6 through 9 range, I guess. We'll talk in a second about the quarterback window, but when we're looking about how you can set your team up, taking that quarterback in the first or second round can put you in a little bit of a hole then later to try and fill in those other positions. So I wouldn't be recommending doing that, like you also didn't recommend it there when we were talking about it, but that is really the structure you're looking for. If you're going hyper fragile, you're getting those three running backs, I would say, in those first four rounds, but you're waiting then to get that fourth running back after the eighth round. The later, I think, after that, probably the better. You're getting into some of those zero RB candidates, and even getting into the mid-teen rounds are some very interesting rookie options there. You mentioned pairing a rookie running back or a rookie wide receiver with this group, but there's some exciting rookie running backs that could also be paired into having those three elite running back options in the early rounds. But I think if you can come through those kind of first seven rounds, potentially depending what you want to do with your quarterback, with your elite tight end, with three running backs, and then filling the rest up with wide receiver, I think, would you agree that that's kind of after kind of the 8-9 round range, that's what you're hoping to have done if you are going hyperfragile.
Yeah, I completely agree. And then one thing that I also think is important to think about in any draft is what kind of stacks do you build? Like, how are you building correlation into your team? And I think that one of the big mistakes is, now obviously this doesn't quite apply in hyperfragile, but one of the big mistakes is people will draft Cooper Kupp, and then they're like, okay, well, I have Cooper Kupp, I'm at the 2-3 turn, let me grab Mike Williams. And I have the correlation there. And this might be beating a dead horse a little bit, but by you pulling Mike Williams all the way up to the 2-3 turn, all the benefit that you've gotten from correlation is gone, because now you already need him to outperform his median expectation just to justify your pick there. Where if you focus on stacks from teams that you think are generally undervalued, like or players within teams, when you have a team and a lot of the players are undervalued, those are situations that I think is more exciting to stack. And one example, I think that Breece Hall, Garrett Wilson, even Elijah Moore, I think they're all undervalued because of the Zach Wilson stink. But because they have these cheaper prices, it means that if you do stack them and in a given week you only get a hit from one of them, that's okay, because it's okay if you're a later pick or your mid pick doesn't hit, you can carry that. But on the flip side, if we're just wrong about the Jets and then they end up being very good, then you have this huge, like, you have this huge correlation effect of where, like, they're both or three of them are vastly outperforming their ADP. And then the other part of it is that if you are stacking kind of like undesirable teams, you get so much more uniqueness than if you're trying to stack the sexy teams. Like, just one example, and I pulled this up last night, is that last year, believe it or not, the Ravens pass catchers, that was like an unsexy, unfavorable and stack. And so if you combined Mark Andrews, so Mark Andrews obviously had really strong results, but if you combine Mark Andrews with Marquise Brown, you only 1,673 teams combined those two together. I mean, considering that they're both drafted in pretty much every draft, I think that's kind of crazy, like, that they're combined. And so
and just to confirm that is kind of around about 155,000 teams that you mentioned, then the 1,673 had it stacked. So I think when we look through some of these, you mentioned, like, earlier, DeAndre Swift, one of the teams that we have been stacking quite a bit this year is the Lions, and you mentioned the Jets as well. And, you know, I've been stacking the Jets everywhere I can. There's also, you know, a lot of reports at the minute around how the Titans are going, and they're sliding down a little bit by ADP. You know, there's lots of these ones that you can slide in. And we talked when you were on previously about building in that uniqueness. And this is a way to build in uniqueness at a very cost-efficient way, because there's going to be lots of teams. You touched on Mike Williams earlier. There's going to be lots of Mike Williams and Herbert stacks, you know, throughout rosters. There's not going to be a lot of those Jets, or like I mentioned as well with the Lions. I think you're getting them at such better values that then you can attack those elite options at the top. And me and Sean have talked quite a bit on Road of His Overtime as well about how people are targeting those stacks. And you touched on Mike Williams and drafting him earlier than's really necessary. And you're kind of forcing yourself into those having to hit the ceiling expectations of where you're drafting these players. So I think that's a great point about the underpriced stacks, to not only have good value in building your stacks, but to also add in that uniqueness to your rosters as well.
And then I think another point about the stacks is you really don't need the quarterback when I'm stacking Jets, but I'm not often drafting Zach Wilson. I'm not often drafting quarterbacks that honestly fall past the 12th round, but I can still combine their pass catchers and combine them with these kind of mobile quarterbacks where the stack isn't as important. Like I love to combine those stacks with, let's say, a Jalen Hurts, where I've got multiple opportunities at these skinny stacks. I'll do it with Trey Lance, where the skinny stack, where I can get skinny stack, or honestly, we had a quarterback like Trey Lance, where a big part of his upside is that he could just run 200 times this year. Like I don't feel compelled to stack that. And then I think that's a good link in to the quarterback window kind of dynamics, where, so if you look, a big part of the quarterback dynamics and the quarterback window has been using stuff like the Win the Flex tool, the roster construction sort of tools. But if you look at some of the kind of more recent history, one thing that's changing is that people are getting much better at identifying which quarterbacks will score a lot of points. Like I looked at the ADPs from 2015, I think it was, and you had Andrew Luck going in the second round, and then Cam Newton going to pick 90. A lot of the time when we were able to get those windows, it was because you could just not draft Andrew Luck in the second round and then get Cam Newton at 90. Whereas if Cam Newton, prime Cam Newton, you put him in the draft pool, like he is going much, much earlier than pick 90. But he scored, I think he scored 400 points that year. Like you still do want access to the guys who score 400 points, even if you even you're not getting them as early anymore. And so we had discussed the quarterback window as being kind of round 6 to 12, but round 5 and 6, you're getting guys like Lamar Jackson, you're getting guys like Kyler Murray, and even round 6, you're getting Jalen Hurts. And so like that's a kind of like range where all of those guys could easily be top 5. The opportunity cost versus the wide receivers and running back is way lower than having to select like Josh Allen, like Herbert. Like the opportunity cost is way lower, and you still get that top 5. And so that's something that I've really been trying to push. And hopefully it saves their all draft season, but I've really been trying to push that.
Yeah. So to recap again, just as we get ready to close out, you know, hyper fragile, we're looking to get those three running backs in those first 4 rounds or so. Hold off to at least the 8th round then when we're getting that next running back. And just when we're on that point, are you looking then to build that out with just the 4 running backs in those drafts?
So I'm 90% of the time I am just sticking to 4 running backs, because like you take 3 that early, you don't need too many. Sometimes there are situations where when I've really waited on my 4 running back, let's say I've got them in the 12th or so round, like you mentioned, and then I get this huge value in the 16th. A lot of these constructions are kind of like held up by the players themselves. Like, and what I mean by that is like, it's not like these constructions just exist in these vacuums. Like the results are powered by the players and the ranges that it kind of lets you take. And so if you are getting this huge 2-3 round value on somebody in the 16th, like take that.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of the situation where I'll add a 5th running back.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. And then obviously we talked about the onesie positions, trying to get your 2 quarterbacks in the quarterback window. There's basically all the principles that we talk about with zero RB transfer across outside of the fact that you're taking those 3 running backs in those early rounds and then holding off. There's everything else is pretty much very, very closely correlated as well. But we are going to talk, and we should have probably said this at the start, Connor, but the main reason that these are happening, you mentioned that because we're drafting on underdog, well, the difference in underdog and say the FFPC is half point PPR versus full point PPR. So the half point PPR element over at underdog makes having those elite running backs more appetizing than it would in the PPR formats or the full PPR format. We are going to talk on the next edition when you do join us about our underdog drafters drafting enough running backs. So we are going to talk running back, running back, running back. And you know,
we're just obsessed about, with running backs here.
We just love running backs. But it is a case, if you mentioned this at the start, knowing your format, knowing the rules, knowing the structure of the roster, the draft rounds and so on, and the players that you have to have in that lineup each and every week. So when we talk about FFPC, things are going to be a little bit different. But if you're playing over at Underdog, we're going to talk in the next edition about our Underdog drafters drafting enough running backs, because we are seeing those wide receivers really pushed up. And even compared to the FFPC, where it is full point PPR, we're seeing differentiations in the value. So we will talk about that in the next edition. If you are playing over at Underdog Fantasy, though, you can sign up and get yourself a bonus when signing up using the code ROTOVIZ. If you are a first-time depositor, they will match your first deposit up to $100 by 100%. So if you put in $100, you get a $200 basically amount in your account to start things off and to kick things off. Lots of drafts going on over there. Drafts filling up really quick. You've been watching myself and Sean Siegel, myself and Zachary Kruger drafting. So lots of fun over there as well. And if you want to read articles like Connor's up on rotoviz.com, you can get yourself a 10% discount with the code RVRadio2022 when signing up. You can go to rotoviz.com/podcast for more information. That is going to wrap it up for today's show. My name is Colm Kelly. The article we discussed today as well will be in today's show notes, so you can check that out if you want to read Connor's full piece up on the website. Connor Riskill is my guest on today's show. He is the FFPC 2021 champion. My name is Colm Kelly. I guess we'll say I am the FFPC runner-up from 2021. Connor is on Twitter, though, at DricoOut. He is closing in on 1,000 subscribers. Let's push him towards that number. So at DricoOut on Twitter, you'll be able to find that as well in today's show notes. My name is Colm Kelly. You can find me at Overtime Ireland. And until we're back with another show, have a good one.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.